The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given to me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have to admit this morning, it was tempting to preach on the lesson from Acts, because Acts is just so full of action. And do take the time, after you get home sometime this week, and reread the awesome story from Acts. Actually, during the season of Pentecost this summer, read the book of Acts. It will charge you up for ministry. But I want this morning for us to talk together about Jesus' prayer in John 17. Because these are such hopeful words. But sometimes we just seem so far away from Jesus' prayer. He prays for us all to be one. He prays for the disciples, and he prays for future disciples. He prays for the world, that we might be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. At our pastor's text study this week, we kind of challenged each other to find the good news in that, when 2,000 years after this prayer, there seems to be so much divisiveness in the world, so much disunity, so much disparity. So this morning we are going to talk about one.
And I think one of the best ways for us to talk about one, actually, is to start with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, I know. I said, you know what? I think it was only
congregation. And they have that vision. They can walk into a craft store and go, ah, I need to put these all together. I need to make these one. And so they find all these different fabrics. And they find the thread that they think goes just perfectly, which you can't even see because it matches so well. And then they find matching them. All of these things coming from different places. And then there's something that is one. I think the quilt is just one of the best representations of one. That I can imagine.
Now I want to think about how God might picture one. I think about the fact that it wasn't until the era of space exploration, sometime after many of us were born, that we first saw a photograph of the Earth from thousands of miles away. A beautiful, colorful, vibrant globe teeming with life of all sorts. But from that distance, from that distant picture, we could not tell where one country started or stopped. Though I understand there's some hint of the Great Wall of China. We could not certainly tell the color of skin of any individuals. And thank God, from that distance, we certainly couldn't tell that there would be four different Christian churches within three city blocks on just about any section of Galesburg you want to go to. The earth, you see, as created by God, our amazing God, is one. Creation itself is a symbol of one in its extreme interrelatedness. Consider that fresh air does not come down from heaven. You know? We go outside, we take a deep breath of fresh air. But that fresh air is made by plants that are nourished by dirt and water, which means our air comes from mud. Think about that for a little bit. Fueled by sunshine. Water itself is cyclical, raining down from above, refreshing land and plant and creature, running down hills into streams, rivers, and oceans, and then returning to the sky, and through evaporation, condensation, and precipitation starts the cycle all over again. It's all interrelated. The air, the water, the plants, the animals are all interdependent, all one system, all one. When we forget that creation is interdependent, and God has called us to be stewards of what has been entrusted to us, we devalue the gift that God has given us. Sometimes we forget that ecology is more important than economy, and that God has never suggested otherwise. God has entrusted all living things to us. And it's more than just a hippie slogan to say that we are one with nature. All creation is one. Now, we're going to zoom in on one particular species on the planet. We're going to go all the way back to Genesis. We're going to zoom in on humans. Because that's what we like to do. We like to focus on ourselves anyway. Man and woman. Not just all creation, but created in the image of God. Imago Dei. Man and woman. Yes, the Bible says both man and woman, not just man and woman, created in the image of God. Because God is bigger than gender. That image of God is not about gender. But I wonder, as I ponder about oneness, in looking at those first chapters of Genesis, what if, and I'm just going to think out loud with all of us, what if in the Genesis story, when God created the second human and said that they would be one, the oneness that God spoke of would be a oneness of human community in general, as well as specific? Would it be so unusual that if God, at the time of creation, had intended from the beginning that oneness was bigger than just Adam and Eve becoming one flesh, in the standard way we have come to think of that verse, but that God had something more universal in mind at the time, in creating the first two humans, thus beginning not just marriage, but beginning humanity? Perhaps from God's perspective, that beginning was the beginning of a vision of all future humanity as one. Like that view from thousands of miles away from the earth. That oneness theme is what Jesus prayed about. Our gospel is again from those precious last hours that he shared in the upper room with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. His final command was love. His final prayer with them was for them to be one. John Wesley writes, Jesus prays, in the way that Jesus prays, he asks as having a right to be heard, and prays this time not as a servant but as a son, praying that they may behold my glory in being one. And Jesus makes those circular references, that they might be one, that we are in one, that we are in one, so that they may be one. And it goes around a little bit. But that's his prayer in that night he was betrayed. So we've been to creation, we've been at Jesus' prayer, and now if we look forward again to John's vision in Revelation, think again of that image in Revelation of all God's creation around the throne, worshiping God. And as I mentioned again last week, again, I think of the leaves of the tree of life in the middle of the garden, of a new heavenly city, Jerusalem, coming down. The leaves for the healing of the nations. Imagine that in the end, God has the power and intention to heal the nations. Because, it says, there will be people from every tribe and every nation. Hear that again. Every tribe and every nation. All creation, all humanity, one around the throne of God, one in praise and glory. Can you imagine what God's vision for that oneness must be? It's exciting to think about. It's exciting to step out of our boxes. But we, in our pews, perhaps like the pastors in the text study, also might be thinking this is well and good to think about God, what God envisions, but it also raises questions then. If Jesus prayed for oneness 2,000 years ago, and if God planted that idea even at creation, and we're given a glimpse of a future heavenly unity, then why are we here and now in the midst of so much broken and disunity? Where nations are at war, fighting, we say, for peace. Or within our own country, people of differing political or religious viewpoints can barely stand to be in the presence of one another. When half of all marriages still end in divorce, and families have painful divisions, and creation itself groans in pain, with more species facing extinction than ever before in history? Why then are we here and now in the midst of so much brokenness and unity? Maybe it's because we are ambassadors of oneness in a broken world. Jesus' prayer, writes Leo Kuntz, it helps, I think, to understand that the unity for which Jesus asks is not based on who we are, but on who God is. We are ambassadors of God. We catch glimpses of heavenly unity when we see healing and we participate in caring. Even small things that we do are symbols of that oneness. Certainly today we think about all these quilts and think about someone who might be lonely, someone who is in a veteran's home who might miss his mother, getting wrapped up in a quilt and thinking, you know what, somebody cares about me. Somebody cared enough to do this. And we know that we represent Christ in bringing that care. Our social ministry committee this week spent hours, Tammy and Marcia and Judy, hours writing a grant proposal for our food pantry. And as we're writing the proposal, it had never dawned on any of us how many before, how many volunteer hours, and how much food actually goes through that cupboard out there. That's a symbol of oneness in the midst of a broken world. When we care for creation, when we care for each other, we are symbols of oneness, symbols of Christ to the world, looking forward to that time when the kingdom will finally come. When God's all creation will all see oneness as God sees oneness. And when we are ministered to, we know what it feels like. We know what it is like when someone comforts us in our mourning, when someone lifts us up when we're down, when something just sort of happens to come our way, when we're at the end of our rope and we most desperately need it. Those are the glimpses God gives us of his kingdom's oneness. And so I say with the writer of Revelation, come. Come and be welcomed into this oneness. Come and receive the gifts of the oneness. Come and be part of the ambassadorship of this oneness. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let everyone hear who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let everyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and fulfill the oneness. Amen.